Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, Sunday, May 13th. And before we start with our guest and with our beauty news, let me just remind everyone that the call-in number tonight is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399 if you have questions for our guest or if you have a comment. You can also join us in the Beauty Lounge, as always. And hosting the Beauty Lounge is my sister Denise, and she has beauty news for us tonight.
I just have some quick beauty news for tonight. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. Just briefly, I wanted to remind everyone who's planning to attend IMATS out in Pasadena, California in June to go ahead and get your tickets now. You can do that at www.imats.net. For tickets to the Pasadena show and all other shows. And if you attended the makeup show in New York today or this weekend, call in to 914-803-4399 and let us know what you thought.
All right. Thank you very much. And we will proceed right now with our guest with a nice conversation. Hello, Morel, is it you?
Yeah, this is me. Hey, how are you?
We are wonderful. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. I know it was last minute, so I do thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us tonight.
Anytime.
So let's just start off tonight's conversation just by asking you to introduce yourself to our listeners, for those who don't know you, and just kind of tell your story a little bit, how you started off in this world of beauty.
I'm not good at an introduction. Basically, now that I'm old.
Right.
My name is Morel Hollis. I am a makeup artist. I hate using the word celebrity makeup artist because I work on everybody, not just celebrities.
Okay.
I started in, I want to say 90, oh, I'm dating myself, 96, 95.
Okay.
In Atlanta, Georgia. Okay. I'm from Columbus, Georgia. And I've worked on videos, commercials, film, editorial. I'm really bad at talking about myself. I'm horrible at talking about myself.
Okay, well, let me help you out a little bit. First, let's go back, because you said you're from Columbus, Georgia. You started out in Atlanta. Now,
yes.
when you were in Columbus before moving on to Atlanta, did you decide back in Columbus that you wanted to be a makeup artist, or was it when you got to Atlanta?
It was when I was in Columbus, Georgia.
Got you.
Yeah.
So what made you decide, okay, I've got to leave Columbus and go to Atlanta?
Well, I knew in Columbus it wasn't really a big beauty boom there.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that the next big city would be Atlanta. And I knew I wanted to go to FIT, not FIT. There was a school in Atlanta, which is closed now. It actually, I forgot the name of it, but I ended up going to American Intercontinental University for fashion design.
Gotcha.
And marketing. So it was either I just wanted to do something in the beauty realm, and mm-hmm. I didn't know whether it was going to be hair, makeup, or styling. I just knew I loved women, and I loved making them beautiful, and I was going to find a way to do that. And I ended up loving makeup.
Gotcha. So you're in Atlanta, and what was it? Okay, you're going to school in Atlanta at AIU, correct?
I'll tell you the real deal. The real deal is that when I was about 17 or 18, I ended up sneaking on a video set.
You wanted to keep that to yourself.
Yeah, I ended up sneaking on a video set, and I think it was I went to Atlanta to see this group named 112. That was my favorite mm-hmm. boy band at the time, and I ended up sneaking on the set, and one of the security guards figured out that somebody was pretending to be the makeup artist. I went to the CVS or some kind of Rite Aid or something across the street. They were shooting at the Georgian Terrace. And mm-hmm. I went to this little Rite Aid or something across the street to get like a little brush set and pretended to be the makeup artist. They end up telling the key makeup artist, and the rest is history. The key makeup artist basically took me under his wings, and I ended up doing makeup and loving it.
Now, what was his name? Key makeup.
Maurice Beeman.
I knew you were going to say that. Love Maurice.
Yes. Yes, definitely. So that kind of doing videos here in Atlanta kind of is what started you. How did you make the transition to New York?
That was kind of hard. Well, the transition to New York was really hard. In Atlanta, I thought that, well, I had kind of hit a glass ceiling. I had done all the videos, and it was me, Maurice. There's a guy named Christian there. There was a couple of other people, and no video, no nothing got through Atlanta without one of us doing it. And I just kind of hit a glass ceiling. There was nothing else, and I knew there was something bigger and better. So in 2003, I decided, you know what? I want to move to New York, and I want to, you know, do Fashion Week. I want to do just a little bit more. And when I moved here, I moved with my book, and being that I had done everything, and, you know, I had a big name in Atlanta, I thought once I got to New York, it was going to be the exact same way. I was pleasantly surprised with none of that. So I moved up here, and it was super hard, very, very hard. But I, you know, it basically put fire under my butt again, which was good.
Wow.
Yeah, that happened. Go ahead.
What I was going to say, what was it? Now, how long have you been in New York now?
Since 2003.
Since 2003. And when you moved to Atlanta, how long were you there before you went to New York?
I moved to Atlanta in 96. So mm-hmm. I moved to Atlanta.
Okay.
I apprenticed under Maurice for a while, and then I ended up working in Saks and Neiman's, working through all the beauty counters. I worked just mm-hmm. about every beauty counter. And then I worked with Laura Mercier and became a regional with that line. And I was going to do the whole national thing, but then I decided, I was like, I think I want to do hair. And then I went that kind of, my whole story is kind of, it's all over the place. so I ended up wanting to do hair more. And I was talking to Maurice, and I was like, I think I'm going to do hair more. And I started to take on clients in the salon. And then I just, for some reason, just ended up going back to makeup. And I've always been drawn back to makeup, always.
And then in New York, when you went to New York, did you decide that you wanted to try both, or was it just makeup that you wanted to just stick with?
Well, you know, when I moved to New York, well, this is a wise tale that everyone should listen to. I moved here. I had talked to this guy named DeAndre Michaels, and mm-hmm. DeAndre Michaels helped me. You know, he was like, boy, stop that, move up here, stop being scared, you know. And he was with this agent, and her name was Deborah Martin.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay. So I ended up signing with Deborah Martin, which in long terms wasn't a good thing because she ended up leaving and stealing everyone's money.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you always pay attention and make sure that your agent is reputable. And everyone ended up suing her and all that good stuff. But I wasn't working enough at the point to have her take much from me because I didn't have that many clients at the point. But the people that were with her got kind of burnt really bad. But
gotcha.
Yeah. That kind of – DeAndre kind of helped me move up here a little bit more. He's actually – I think he's doing Mary J. now.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, let's talk about that for a second since you mentioned it. How do we find out, how does one find out if their agent is reputable? I mean, if you're new in town, you know a few people, but maybe not a whole lot, or even if there's someone who's been in the business for a long time, let's say 15 years, but they never had an agent, now they're looking to sign on with someone, how do we know if that person is reputable or not?
Call the Better Business Bureau. Always call them. And then second, the industry does talk. The industry talks. So if you know people that are in the industry, just talk to at least 7 or 8 people. Don't do 1, 2, or 3 people. I never go by that rule. You need to do like 7 or 8 people and just figure out what everyone else is saying. And, you know, that's how you pretty much find out what's going on in the industry. Because everyone's going to have something to say. You talk to a couple of people in the industry, I mean, in the agency, then you talk to a couple of people who used to be with the, you know, and you kind of make your assumption from that.
So what do we look for? What do we look for when we're looking for an agent?
I would say longevity. To see how long they've been around. I personally don't like a agent with a really big roster because sometimes agents just pull on a lot of people. So I feel like if you're an agent and you have a huge roster, that means that you're letting your roster work for you instead of your roster working for your agency. Instead of you working for your roster. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you can kind of just sit back and let the money come in. I like more boutique agency. That means that, you know, I'm an only child, so I like personal attention. You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't do well with, you know, call me back. I need to talk to someone. So I would say that, see who has really good, if you're hair, makeup, or styling, I would see someone who has a really strong photographers in their agency, because then you can get really good pictures, and some of those campaigns that those photographers get, they can pull you in on those campaigns also. So that can also be kind of a big thing, a really good thing. And see, look at the tear sheets also. Look at what they have and see if what they have in their roster and on their page is where you're going, you know. I'm kind of a campaign boy, so I like campaigns. So I would go with an agency that has more campaigns and less editorial.
Because looking at the tear sheets or what have you gives you an idea of what type of work that the agency is bringing in.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry, I'm better with a paintbrush. I'm horrible with my mouth, so I'm a little
that's okay. You're working it out. It's quite all right. At least you have to say.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's good information, because I think some artists are just in a rush or anxious just to be signed on, to say that they have an agent, and, you know, it's almost like they want to put everything in the agent's hands so that they feel like as soon as they get signed with the agent, they're going to get a whole lot more work.
And see, that's what I thought also. I used to think that as soon as I signed with the agency, okay, let's see who's going to bring me in work. That's not what happens. You are your agent. You're the person mm-hmm. that you need. You need to go out. You need to find work. You need to be at the events. You need to be at the parties. You need to be sending thank you notes. You need to be sending flowers to the agencies or the people that you've worked with or the people that you assisted under, you know, all the different companies that you've worked for. You need to mm-hmm. be that person. The agent is strictly for paperwork. And, you know, every now and then they will go out and do things, but I don't like to trust my livelihood in anyone's hand at all. Because then, you know, if you fail, then, you know, you think it's their fault, but it's really yours.
Exactly. I mean, I think you probably said something that's so smart and so important, because most of the time we think, you know, if you have an agent, then you don't have to worry with certain little things. We'll let them deal with it. I can just focus on being the artist. But again, like you said, when you fail, it's your fault. It's not the agent's fault. Like you said, they're there to handle the paperwork. But we've got to get to the point where we can handle the paperwork.
Exactly.
So that we can handle that agency if need be.
Yeah, and learn, and you have to learn deal memos. Learn deal memos. That's the most important thing you can do before you do a job. You know, I've been stuck on many jobs where, you know, back in the day, you know, where I did not get paid. And the first mm-hmm. thing, even with the small claims court, and I take them to small claims court, the first thing they say is, where's your deal memo? And I'm like, deal memo? You know, you got to have something in writing saying that they agree to pay this amount to you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's one thing that I love so much about film work is, you know, you are your own agent or your own manager, you know, you yourself, because, you know, at the beginning of that job, when you get that big stack of, you know, papers that we call a book, you know, and you have to fill out all that paperwork, that's, you know, something that's going to come in that paperwork, your deal memo.
Yes. Yeah.
Everything else, you know, and it's so important. If there's something that you don't agree to, then you don't sign it until, you know, you can do an agreement.
Right.
But it's so important that you have that and that you sign that paperwork.
Oh, most definitely.
So, Morel, walk us through your New York experience. So you moved to New York, you signed on with this lady. She was taking you all's money. Where did you go from there? After all of that was over and done, where did you go from there?
Well, after there, then I went to Bradley Curry. I have the worst agent stories ever. then I went to Bradley Curry. Bradley Curry was the agent that I was going to sign next. I thought my book was kind of okay because Deborah Martin just signed me on, and I didn't know. I guess she just signed me on because I did have clients.
Mm-hmm.
But so after that whole thing, so then I left Deborah Martin, she left. And then I went to Bradley Curry, which was this huge agency. I just remember him having a whole bunch of chihuahuas in his office, like 6 or 7. I just mm-hmm. was amazed at this amazing man that came out, and I showed him my book, and then he was like, okay. And then he proceeded to bring out 7 or 8 books, which were what your New York book was supposed to look like, your portfolio. And I was amazed. And my book looked nothing like it, you know,
mm-hmm.
not downplaying Atlanta or anything like that, but Atlanta did not prepare me for what I was in store for in New York. The photographers, none of that. It's mm-hmm. a whole different ball game up here. The makeup style, everything. So I was a little depressed for about a year because my makeup style in Atlanta was totally different because I was used to doing Brunner Brothers, and there's an Atlanta style to makeup. You know, there's the brow, there's that heavy contour makeup, you know, that lip, that, you know. And here, you don't do that. It's, you get the model that has all that, so you don't have to put all that on their face. That's the difference.
Right.
You
and
know,
that particular model that's in New York is not in Atlanta.
Exactly. If you realize, those models moved to New York, too, for the same reason.
Absolutely.
So, so yeah, it's, you know, so I pretty much had to learn all over, and I had to just humble myself. Really, I mean, I had to truly humble myself and learn makeup all over again. And I basically, you know, started to assist under really big artists and people that were doing Vogue and, you know, things of that nature. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then luckily, I ended up signing on with Puffy, and because I was doing Kim Porter. And, yeah, so then he took me on, and from then on I start working. While I was also assisting those big artists, I was also doing music artists. So I was kind of lucky to the fact that I could still assist people and I was still making money for myself.
Right.
And, yeah, I was really busy. So all the new artists that was coming out with Bad Boy, I was kind of helping rejudge their look.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what else. And then I decided, since I was doing so many males, I was like, maybe I'll end up going to barber school also. So I ended up going to barber school. So now I have a barber's license, and now I'm crazy with the clippers. Yeah. And with I also, because I was working also, I worked closely with Curtis, who's a master barber, who is like
right.
the barber of all barbers. So I got to work firsthand with him and watched him for years. And being that I do makeup and I'm really good with blending, fading was nothing for me. Fading is, you know, so the rest is history. But the bad thing about it is that because I started working with Puff, people start forgetting that I do women.
Right.
Yeah, people start to, you know, they start to typecast you or pigeonhole you, and it's like, okay, no, I do women. So I get all these men calling, you know, I'm doing Matthew McConaughey, I'm doing Nelly, I'm doing all these people. I'm like, where are the women, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Well, talk a little bit about, because you touched on it a little bit about how, you know, the differences from Atlanta to New York. So talk a little bit about how much of a shock, a culture shock it was for you once you moved to New York and you finally signed with an agency. Like, what was the big differences? You know, how much did you have to change your style of what you thought was, you, when you thought you were in Atlanta, you thought you were really doing something. So what, you know, how much did you have to really change your style when you, you know, when you went to New York and you finally got that agency?
I had to change my style about 90%.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the big thing. The one thing that I've always been good at, and one thing I have to say, me and Christian, we kind of, I always say Christian's like my role dog. Every time I can't do something, I refer it down to Christian in Atlanta. We are very quick. Like I can do a face and I can do a full face in probably about 20 minutes. And that's from doing those cattle calls from, you know, like the Mazza magazines and, you know, all the hair book magazines.
Right.
I've always been quick, super quick. And that, I think that is what kind of helped me in New York. Because no one could understand how I could do a full face and I'm finished. Are you sure? She's done?
Right.
I'm like, yeah, she's done. Yeah, there's nothing else. Oh, wow. You know, and other people are taking, you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, and I would be completely finished. That was only the really style change. I'm trying to think of what else, and my foundation. my foundation is, I've always prided myself in my foundation, in my highlighting and contouring. So that's one thing that has never changed. It's just, it's went a little lighter. It's actually a little sheerer, you know. I just make sure that you can see skin and you can see texture. Before, you couldn't see anything. I was literally like, I would, whatever the airbrush picture looked like, that's what I would put on the face. Even on a model who had gorgeous skin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't want to see any of that.
Has any of your products that you used, and I know products have changed over the years, but have you, like when you first made the move from Atlanta to New York, did any of your products change?
I've always been a fan of MAC. My products did not change. The formulations changed. So instead of using only cream foundations, I started using liquids a little bit more. And I started to use concealers instead of, you know, my kit, my foundation kit before was only full coverage foundation, period. Now it's sheerer, some luminescent, you know. Yeah, my products, the formulations change instead of the actual brands. Because I still love my, you know, my black gloves. I still love, and especially now since Sam Fine took over, Fashion Fair will now be right back in my kit.
Right.
Yeah, full on.
Pretty
Yeah, I can't wait until he finishes.
Yeah, what are some of the changes? Now, I know she asked about your particular kit and the products that you use, but what have, are there any changes that you've noticed in the beauty industry in terms of cosmetics or just the way the beauty industry runs now? Are there any changes that you've noticed since you first started to now?
I'm not understanding. What do you mean? Like any? What do you mean? Like in the ads or in the formulations or?
Just in general, with the beauty industry in general, whether it's products, whether it's how they advertise in the beauty industry, anything about the beauty industry.
Yeah, everything is more, everything is so, now everything's so HD, so like, I don't know how to explain it, but before, I think when I first started, makeup was more super glamorous and makeup. Now everything is more real. You want everybody wants to look like the no makeup look. The, you know, before it was makeup. You know, now it's, they have all this makeup, but we don't want you to look like you have on makeup. So more products, but the look is less. You know, it's kind of a weird thing. And now it's going, you know, since Nicki Minaj is out, so now you have all these bright colors. I think it's kind of going back into, you know, the makeup look.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've been in it long enough to see it transformed, you know, from the makeup look to the no makeup look, and now we're getting back into heavy makeup, you know, with colors, not with foundation, but with light colors,
with colors.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, let me just ask you, I hate to keep going back to this agency thing, but let me ask you, when we're looking for agency, do you think that a lot of agents are looking for artists who, not as just great artists, but those who have been working for a while, they already have nice books, and a lot of them are working already with celebrity talent. Do you think that a lot of agencies are looking for people that they don't have to really, I guess they don't really have to kind of push so hard, they almost can get a job themselves type of thing?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, you have to think about it. The whole world is moving that way. I mean, even with music artists, music people, record industries don't develop artists anymore. They want you to come prepackaged. You need to have your disc. You need to already have a song out. You need to have a YouTube base of people that listen to you. Like, that's what people, that's everything is basically, we're moving into a fast food nation. But, you know, that's how I say it. So, yes, you know, agents are looking for artists that are already prepackaged. They already have a celebrity or someone they're doing. They're not really taking on people that are, you know, new, you know, things of that nature. So I say to people that are new to assist under somebody who's already, you know, made a name for themselves. That's the best way to do it. Yeah, because that is true. They are looking for people that are already prepackaged, which it kind of sucks. It kind of sucks for people who actually love what they do, and you know they're out there hustling and they're really trying to, you know, do something, and then you have this person whose cousin just got signed to a record label, and now she's all of a sudden a makeup artist, and now she's blown up. You know what I mean? I mean, no shame to anyone who, you know, that happened. You know, I don't knock the hustle, but I do knock someone who has not
trying to pay
paid their
dues.
I do knock that, because without that, you don't learn, you know, artist client relationship. You don't, and you make it harder for, you know, people who've been in the industry, and that's how rates get dropped, because you don't know what the rates are supposed to be. And so you just say, yeah, I'll do it for this much, you know, and you don't know what, you know, my rate used to be a certain amount. Now it's a certain amount because people come in and, you know, it's weird.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. How hard is it to assist?
It's not hard at all. To assist, you keep your mouth shut. You watch what the person, whoever you're assisting, you watch what they grab for. You see what they use mostly. And you pretty much, you watch it the next time. You should be able to put into the person you're assisting hand, you should be able to put in their hand what they're about to grab for before they even know they're about to grab for it. Because you're paying attention, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You pay attention to exactly what they do. So you know exactly how they pack their kit, how they unpack it, the first thing they do, their first steps, their primers first, if they miss the face first, and their foundations, powder, you know. You know exactly, you know. Pretty much you need to be their right hand when you assist.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. Just want to remind our listeners out there, if you have a question, the number is 914-803-4399. Again, 914-803-4399. And for those of you who are listening in the chat room, you're welcome to ask questions as well. We'll make sure we get them on. What inspires you?
Life. I mean, everything inspires me. I mean, life, to see what other artists are doing. Just a beautiful girl just walking down the street, and anything inspires me. It could be the carpet, a pattern on a carpet, on the carpet. You know, it's a couple of different things that inspire me with makeup. I'm inspired by a lot of things.
Cool. We're going to actually take a question from one of the callers.
Okay.
Callers from the 708 area code. Hello?
Where's 708?
Chicago.
Chicago.
Okay.
Hello?
Hey, how you
it's
doing?
Mariola. You know what?
Hi.
I'm good. I try to support you ladies and the artists, your guest artists, as much as I can. So the other inspiring artists like myself can get more knowledge and get more inspiration. Mariola, you gave me hope for the following week. Absolutely. And I didn't really get how long have you been a makeup artist and in the industry so the other artists can hear?
I've been a makeup artist in the industry since 97. I will say officially since 97. I won't say 96, and I snuck up there and did all that. I'll say 97. So how many years is that? Ooh.
What, about
a minute?
Yeah. Oh, that's a long time. I remember when I used to say 12 years, and I know that's not it.
Exactly.
But a long time.
Yeah. And I also love that you hit on a point on different styles and different regions on how you went from Atlanta to New York and you got shut down, and you humbly said it. And that's the thing that a lot of artists need to know, that you can go, you can be fly in your area, in your comfort zone, but you can go somewhere else and get shut down. Where you have to, re-educate yourself and learn. And I also love that you hit on artists who wants to assist, to keep your mouth shut, learn and pay attention. And that is so important. And also you need to do a workshop. I'll put it all out there. So I'm trying
you
to get
know,
everything
I
in.
Just talked to Danessa today at the makeup show, and she was like, "You need." She was telling me the same thing, and I'm like, "I know, I know. I'm so bad about this. I guess I need someone. Maybe I'll get Ken to put something together for me."
You should. You
That's
really
who
should.
My agent is now, Ken Barboza. But I need to.
Oh, okay.
I need to put something together. Definitely.
Oh, okay. Okay,
I used to
cool.
do them with Chet Bennett in D.C.
Oh, okay.
A couple of them, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I think that would be great. I really do. So much love to you and props to you as well. And I also
well,
I picked the website. So it's very clean. So every time they have a guest on, I always have to educate myself. And I wouldn't know much about the other artists out here if it weren't for the Tonal Sisters. So I thank you. Thank you.
Oh, wow.
For
all right, girl.
So much.
Yeah.
For sharing so much with us. All right. So I'm going to go back and join in on the conversation and let the others call in. Thank you, ladies.
Okay.
Thank you, Mariel.
All right. Thank you, Viola, for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay. And we have another caller here I'm going to bring in from the 504 area code. Hello.
Hi, this is Taylor from New Orleans. How are you?
Thank you.
Hey.
How are you?
Outstanding. I'm the one who just messaged you with the spoken word poet.
Is it very long?
No, it's not very long, but it is a criticism, I would say. But I figured that this is the kind of place to say it, and that these are the people interested in it, and these are the people who can rebuke it.
Okay.
It's up to
go
you.
Ahead.
I'm at your command. So.
Just as long as there's no curse words in there.
There's none. There's none.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. It's called beauty. Red. The color of the lipstick sliding across the lips of a young girl. Too young to put it on perfectly, but not too young to see the world. She sees her mother wear it. She sees her father smile. So she thinks that's what it takes, and so begins to take on style. Red, the color of the blood flowing and freeing her from childhood and bondaging her to her peers. And as their thoughts and hers become one, she enters her teen years, where the other girls tell her what she's doing wrong and the boys tell her what she's not doing right. And all she can do is rely on her sight. The televisions, the billboards, the magazines, the ads, the girls, the boys, the laughs and the fads. So she becomes smaller, thinner, softer, tighter, younger, fuller, tanner, brighter. Transforming into perfection by the use of self-abuse in hopes of avoiding rejection, losing it all, weight of body and mind, giving herself to conformity while leaving who she is behind, paying 50% off of clothes so she can cover 20% of her body, and slicing everything else away until shallow men call her a hottie, making her face up to cover who she really is, trying to impress boys that shouldn't need to be because she's blinded by the weight of the shadow on her eyelids, brought up by a media that says natural is disaster. And as we tear down the trees of our forest, they tear down her self-esteem even faster. Because perfect isn't perfect enough. And then they digitally retouch. And women pay their soul, not understanding that health is wealth and paying a penny of your life is still too much. And the scars in their mind can't be covered or concealed, because even when we say you don't need all that, they still feel that looking like a picture is better than being them, being real. And all we can do is watch her fade into the faces of all those others who want to be in the same places as those actresses, singers, or simply posters on the wall. Watch them wipe the tears, sewn with the mascara as they watch themselves fall, falling into fantasy, falling into arms, that will only be around as long as a lipstick or another girl more youthful, more beautiful comes along. Red, the color of a rose standing tall and proud, basking in the sun and reaching for the clouds, spreading its leaves out to take in the world, while maintaining both the beauty of a woman and the innocence of a girl. So where does it end, and where did it begin, and where did that young girl hide away, her mind or her skin?
Wow.
Oh, that's nice.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. You know what? You
Wendy, Wendy is wearing red lipstick tomorrow. That was actually very nice.
That was.
Email us back. Cricket, hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Oh, can you email us that poem?
Sure. Yeah, that's fine. You can send me your email via the chat now. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for allowing me to.
Okay.
Cool.
Good night.
Good
night. Now, Morel, you said Wendy is wearing red tomorrow.
Yeah, that made me want to put some red lipstick on Wendy tomorrow.
I know, right? Let's talk a little bit about your work on the Wendy Williams show. Talk a little bit about the pace and the schedule of a TV talk show as far as makeup is concerned.
All right. Well, this is my first time actually doing this is basically what I call full-time work. Which I vowed never to do, but because I like Wendy so much, I was like, well, I guess I'll do it for her.
And let me just stop you for a second. In saying that, is it because when you do full-time work, it's hard to kind of get out and do other things?
No, it's because I'm spoiled, and I've been in the industry for so long, and I've done full-time work for a very long time, and I like to make my own schedule, and I'm my own boss. So I'm not my own boss anymore because there's, you know, producers and this and that, and, you know that's what happens now. And, you know, with daytime TV, you can only do so much, you know. I like to have complete creative control, and I don't, you know, basically. You know, it's not like I can, you know, we're going to do electric eel on your eye today, Wendy. You know, I can't do that. It's, you know, daytime TV. So my schedule is basically I wake up at 5 a.m. every morning.
Mm-hmm.
I get to the studio by 7. I end up doing her while Hot Topics are happening. And then she does her, you know, her rehearsals and all that stuff. And then it's a live show at 10, and then that's it. I'm off at 11. Now I can still, the good thing about this show is that it's live. If it was a tape show, I wouldn't be able to do it. I would have to just say no, because I think Tyra was a tape show, and I think they taped all day. You know, it's a whole bunch of stops and, you know, starts and starts, and I'm not with that. And plus I have, you know, editorials and stuff I need to get to. So the good thing about this is that it ends at 11, so I'm free to finish and do what I need to do at the end of the day.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the difference. I mean, we end at 11. So
right.
That's a good thing. Unless we have like a post tape or something like that, you know, where a guest, you know, can't make it on a certain day, and then they have to stay after, we have to pre-record it.
Right. Tell me about the looks, her looks for the show. How do you come up with what you're going to do each day? Like today, just now you said Wendy's going to have a red lip tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm being silly. If she has on something that clashes with red, I wouldn't be able to do it. I
wouldn't
be
right.
able to. Yeah, but usually I wait for Deborah to come in, and I see what she's going to wear, and then I see what Antoine is doing with the hair, and then I'll say, okay, well, we'll do this, you know. And it's pretty. I pretty much stick to neutral, neutral things, because it's daytime TV. You know, there's wives. It's basically in this middle America, so I don't want to scare them off, you know.
Right.
We're doing all these crazy colors that are New York, you know, New York, and they're like, you know, in Minnesota, and they're like, okay, why is she wearing this lime green under her eye? You know, I don't want to do that. I have to, you know, keep it neutral. So.
Right. What are some of Wendy's favorite products or favorite colors to wear?
Oh, gosh, she loves this pink color, this pink lipstick from MAC. What is it? It is some color. I won't even remember the name of it because I don't like it. she loves that color. It looks cute on her sometime when she wears it, you know, just regular day without makeup and stuff like that. But she likes that. She's moody. She's kind of moody like me. I'm moody. That's my makeup style, too. I'm very moody with makeup. So sometimes I may do this and I may do that. You know, at one point, I think last season, we were doing red lipstick a lot. And that was, I think that was Lady Danger with MAC.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of her favorite red lipsticks. She likes this Makeup Forever, this kind of rustic brown that I like to smoke under her eyes. She loves that. She loves Makeup Forever, their smoky lash mascara. She's loving the HD foundations, which I am too. I mean, I use that on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those are kind of her favorite. She's not really a makeup girl. She could probably just do a little C7 around her face and just go.
Oh,
she's
wow.
She's not a makeup girl. That's a wig girl right there. That's a hair lady.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can tell that. We know
yeah.
that. She talks about it all the time, too.
Exactly, don't you?
That's hilarious. But
yeah.
How long does it normally take you now? You say you only do a face in 20 minutes. Are you doing hers in 20 or less?
Yeah. It takes me no time because I have her down to a science. I know her highlight contour. I could literally do her whole face in about 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, lashes and all.
Which I guess
takes
works
me
out
no
great.
No time. Yeah, as long as I have my little metal sheet down, if I have all my foundation, I have all my brushes lined up, I can literally do her in 10 minutes. It takes me no time.
Wow. And on that show, are you doing the guest as well? Or?
No, we have Jai Williams, who I brought in this year, who's also with the Ken Barbosa Agency. I brought him in this year, who does all the guest makeup.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Nice. So I was listening to you all talk about people saying you should do a seminar, you should do a class. Would your class, do you think, be on makeup, or would you do something on male grooming?
I would probably do a series of classes. I would do, I've done them before. I've done it with Chet Bennett in D.C. a couple of times, and one was on male grooming, and then one would be on makeup, like highlighting and contouring, making
mm-hmm.
sure your foundation is flawless. I'm a stickler for foundation. I will clock bad foundation in a heartbeat. Like, I do not like bad foundation. This is not the 80s. We have
right.
different, yeah, you know what I mean? That is, like, the number one. You should always learn color theory. You should know, you know, pinks and yellows don't match, you know, what cancels out, you know, redness or what cancels out ruddiness around the mouth. You know, you should know your orange corrector for, you know, for that. Like, just certain things before you get into this game, you need to know. And that's one thing I want to say for, like, young makeup artists that come in. You got to learn. You have to know. You have to know. And if you don't want to pay for school, the best thing to do, like, I think one brand that really taught me color and product knowledge was Clinique.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with Clinique for I don't know how long. Maybe I'm a Sagittarius, so it was hard for me to commit. So when I was working in the stores, I would bounce from different lines. and I would learn about each line, you know.
Okay.
What their philosophy was and all that stuff. Clinique had so many products that, you know, it's like it was a never ending, you know, learning process.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to learn your color theory. You got to learn, you know, what skin textures, what to use, what foundation to use on dry skin, you know.
Right. Absolutely. Do we have any more questions from the chat room?
We do. Charlene is asking, what advice, Morelle, would you give for makeup artists that are not in the New York City area? In terms of learning the makeup style, I guess the makeup style in New York.
Let's see. I think the best thing, you know, one thing that I used to watch even when I was in Atlanta was there was this channel. I don't know what channel would be in your area, but it's called Fashion TV. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, it shows all the runway looks. So it shows, like, in Paris what they're doing, like, on the runways. And it shows them, you know, with the foundation, putting the foundation on and, you know, what looks they're doing. That really kind of transcends, you know. And go on YouTube and see what they did for the different shows and see what they're doing. YouTube, the web is a wonderful thing right now.
Yeah.
You know, YouTube wasn't that big when I was starting out. I don't even think
right.
I didn't even have a computer. I didn't have a computer until, when did I have a computer? I didn't really know how to work a computer until like 90-something. I'm still having problems with computers. But I do know YouTube.
Right, exactly. And Fashion TV may even be online now. It seems like
yeah, it probably is online. It has like this, it shows like the Eiffel Tower, boom. And then it shows like
mm-hmm.
all the makeup looks, yeah. And if you can find anything with Pat McGrath, you know, anything with her doing makeup, I would follow that lady till the day I die. That lady,
yeah.
I say I'm fine, yeah. And any of Kevin Aucoin's stuff, I was happy to see Kevin Aucoin's makeup at the makeup show today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then also, Tanisha is asking, what are your feelings on airbrushing?
Ooh. Okay. I do like airbrushing for the body, and I like airbrushing. But the problem with airbrushing is that you have to – the face has so many different dimensions and different colors. And – because I'm kind of quick with my brushes, the airbrush machine slows me down. So, you know, I have to change it, clean it out, put a different color foundation in, you know, change it, put the highlighter in, change it, put, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If a model has great skin and a great, when I say great skin, I mean great texture in skin, and if it's not very porous or very bumpy, you know, or, you know, has a lot of acne scars, it works really good, you know, and especially if you're, you know, I know Orlando Santiago is crazy with the airbrush
mm-hmm.
machine, and he's amazing with it, but I've just never mastered it. I'm pretty good with it, and I'm great with it with men,
mm-hmm.
but I've never taken the time to become a master at it. So, yeah, I mean, I like it, but I like hands. I like hands and skin and touching and, you know.
But I think when you were talking about, like, changing the colors and cleaning out, for me, I never really clean out the airbrush to the very end. Like, if I'm going to do highlighting and contouring and all that kind of thing, I'll just start with my lightest color. Whichever color is the lightest, I'll start
okay.
with that first. And then I'll go to a little darker color, the contour color, and then use that. Because still, you know, it's okay to have a little bit of the light color in there. You can still just kind of mix it all in there together. Go to the darker color, and then just go to whatever foundation color you're going to use.
most of the time I'm blending colors anyway for the base color for the foundation. So it's okay to have a little bit of that light color or a little bit of that warmer color in there. Just, you know, I just mix them all together anyway.
Okay.
So that I can keep moving, you know. But you have
see,
to
see that
know
probably you probably do you and you see you got that whole you got a down pack. I was like, oh, I don't want this mixing with this one. Oh, this has too much yellow, and this one has a little bit of pink, and I don't want to, you know. So yeah, I see. That's cool.
Mhm. And then a lot of times, you know, sometimes I do a mixture of both. I'm using a little cream foundation and then airbrush foundation. Like if I want to conceal or do something like that, sometimes I'll do that first with my cream, and then go back and airbrush over it. Or sometimes I just don't use the airbrush at all. I just use, you know, like this paint with my hands.
Oh, see, you know what else I used to wonder about with that, with the airbrush machine? Can you, after it sets, can you go back over it? What products can you go back over it with? Because I know if it's alcohol-based, water-based, oh, there's so many things with it. It's alcohol-based, water-based, and then if you put a cream base on the alcohol base, then it starts to separate.
See, the only thing that I would do, the only product that I would go over an airbrush product with is a powder.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't try doing all that other stuff because things are going to start to move and shift.
Yes.
Because nowadays, the products that people are using are more water-based airbrush
products. Right.
So you can move that, so that's fine. When you're talking alcohol based, then, yeah, you don't want to mess with that too much.
Yeah, that stuff starts to coagulate. It's like, wait a minute. Hold on now. The whole side of the face moves. It's like, okay, oh, Lord. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with that too much. But, if you think you want to do something with a different type of product, then you use that first before you airbrush.
Right.
And then you can always
talk about
that.
Look at me learning something.
See?
Maybe I'll pick it back because, you know, Tim 2 sent me this portable one that I use.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I use it on the guys and, you know, it's easier for me because, you know, it's three or four different shades I use on the guys so I can mix and match with that and it's easy. You know, and I use my little spatula and I put it in there and I spin it around and that's how I mix the foundation in there. And then I just go back and forth. But for women, I haven't went back to it. Maybe I'll pull it back out.
Yeah.
Tim 2.
Yeah. Charlene is asking again, do you use traditional makeup to cover tattoos?
I use, depending on their skin color, on black skin, I usually use an orange corrector first. And I outline the tattoo wherever the tattoo is, if it's a dark tattoo. I use an orange corrector right on there, and then I use traditional makeup on top of it, and then I set it, and it completely disappears. Completely. Or I will just airbrush. That's where I would use the airbrush machine to cover up a tattoo because it just lays. You can just lay a layer until it disappears.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. No,
let me just add this. I'm sorry, really quickly. Let me just add this. But then when you're using the airbrush to color tattoos, one thing you have to be careful of is you want to use an actual airbrush foundation that's like, that's waterproof so it doesn't move.
Right.
Because if
right.
not, you're putting all this other stuff on top of it, again, you're going to have the same
and
problem.
And it'll move. It will move and that tattoo will come straight through. Yes.
Cool.
Have to make sure it's water resistant.
Mm-hmm.
Waterproof.
Yep.
Nice. Now, the last question I have for you, Maron, something we always ask all of our guests, and that is, what is beauty to you?
Beauty to me is whatever, makes me smile. If I look and I finish with it and I'm smiling, that's beauty, period. You know, it could be just about anything. You know, it could be a father holding his child to me putting on a crazy, you know, crazy eye that I didn't think that I was able to do, and I end up doing it, and, you know, that's beauty. Anything that makes me smile is beauty.
Nice. Well, we thank you so much, Morel, for joining us tonight. We really appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much. I know I'm all over the place. If you meet me in person, this is the way I talk. I'm from here to there. You're like, wait a minute, come back. So, yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
It's quite all right. I really enjoyed the conversation and learned a lot of information that we really need to pay attention to for those of us who are listening and who are interested, you know, in doing different, you know, makeup styles very similar to what's being done in New York, thinking about a question that somebody just asked. And then also the things that we were talking about when it comes to agency representation. A lot of great information shared there as well that we really need to pay attention to in general. So thanks a bunch. We appreciate it. And we definitely would like to have you back on the show sometime throughout the year just to catch up with you and see what you're doing.
Okay.
But in the meantime, we thank you and have fun on the Wendy Williams show tomorrow.
All right.
I hope she will have on red lipstick.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Let's see if I can put her in it.
Okay. Well, thanks again, Morel, and have a great night.
All right. Talk to you later. Everybody have a good night.
All right. Bye-bye. And for those of you who enjoyed the show tonight, please go out on this Blog Talk Radio page and mark it as a favorite. Tell everyone about Beauty Talk. We are here every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And again, the call-in number for future reference is 914-803-4399 for your comments and your questions. We thank you very much for joining us. And for T. Michael, I think his name is, who called in with the poem, thank you for sharing. And we'll get back to you. Maybe we may have you on a future show to discuss the beauty industry in regards to your poem. Everybody have a great night and be blessed.
Good night.